Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you keep an open mind, you'll come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. You'll also see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now tonight it's my pleasure to welcome Dr. Mary Lou McIntyre. She is an author, a past life connector, and a fear buster. She helps those suffering from irrational fears to mend the past so they can overcome their fears and live happy, healthy, successful lives. Her books, Fast Road to Happiness, Journey into Now, Life is Forever, Get Used to It, and The Forever Principles, Listening to an Angel Voice in My Head, assist you on a spiritual path and provide roadmaps to enjoy your life forever. To schedule a past life exploration or learn more about her books, go to MaryLouMcIntyre.com, and that is spelled M-A-R-I-L-O-U. McIntyre is M-C-I-N-T-Y-R-E, MaryLouMcIntyre.com on the World Wide Web. And so let me welcome Dr. McIntyre. How are you tonight?
Well, I am just perfect, and I hope everybody else is too.
Well, I hope the same, and we'll find out about that in a minute. But you wanted to talk a little bit about phobias and help people understand what they are, because whether or not we're aware of it, we all have certain phobias, and they're usually connected to a previous lifetime. Isn't that the case?
Yes, that is the case. That's what I found out when I was reaching out trying to help people that the medical profession wasn't helping, and the spirit guides that were in contact with me said, well, we'll teach you how to regress people. And I said, oh, great, because I had no idea. And back then, you know, people weren't even talking about their dreams, let alone regressions. And so, but that is exactly what happened. I developed the ability through the help of my spirit guides to be able to read the Akashic Records. And now I can actually help people over the phone regress, you know, to the past life themselves where a trauma or, you know, problem became embedded in their subconscious and is affecting them in this lifetime. And so, David, I thought maybe I could just take a minute to describe, you know, what it is we're talking about, because some people don't really understand, you know, phobias and regressions and that kind of thing.
Right.
So let me just take a minute to do that, okay?
Okay.
All right. The general diagnostic criteria for phobias, specific or social, are marked by persistent fear of clearly discernible objects or situations. Exposure to phobic stimulus provokes an immediate anxiety response, and it could result in a panic attack. Recognition that the fear is excessive and unreasonable, and then the phobic stimulus is avoided or endured with dread. And so we want to eliminate all of that. And by, you know, finding out what it is that we have locked in our subconscious, that doesn't even relate to this lifetime, you know, and we can get rid of it through that knowledge. And it's a phobia when the avoidance and fear or anxiety or anxious anticipation of encountering the phobia stimulates or interferes significantly with a person's daily routine or occupational functioning or social life. And if the person is markedly distressed about having the phobia, you know, having a phobia can create a phobia. I mean, it can become a vicious circle. But a person's experienced a marked persistent fear of or when anticipating an encounter with a specific object or situation. Maybe anticipated harm, well, like for air travel, a plane crashing, or water. That's a big one, and drowning, of course. Concerns may also involve losing control, panicking, or fainting, like in enclosed spaces, or body, I mean blood and injury, you know, to the body, or fainting, and heights will cause dizziness. And so these are just, you know, a few of the key things that people are living with, but they don't have to, because through knowledge, they can just release it. And if you have a fear of heights because of something that happened, you know, 500 years ago, you have there's no sense in still relating to that fear when it has nothing to do with here and now. So all a person has to do is realize that, and then you get over it because it isn't real. So I hope that helps.
Well, I think that does explain it pretty well. The thing is, a lot of people aren't aware of what's provoking anxiety in their lives, and sometimes it can be something as simple as fear of relationships, fear of commitment, fear of success, things like that. And I don't know if I would call those phobias, but those things can be related to previous lifetimes too, can't they?
That's true. And yes, fear is something that really blocks people from recognizing their own happiness or moving into being happy or liking themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, fear is it's a major, can you say, objector or objection to having a fulfilling life. Yes, absolutely.
So it's important for the callers to know that in order for Dr. McIntyre to successfully take you to a previous lifetime, to focus on something that has provoked fear or anxiety within you in order for her to take you there. Does that sound accurate?
Right. It's a condition that they have in this lifetime, regardless of where and when it happened, because they're not aware of it.
Right.
So if I know what their problem is, you know, what is affecting this or causing irrational behavior, then I can be led through the Akashic Records, because we all have a wonderful book of life. You know, what we do is what we get. And sure enough, there is a library somewhere where all these vibrations and energies are maintained. And, you know, through my spirit guide connection, I can help people realize what the problem is, and then they can just get over it. And that's what we're working for.
Beautiful. Well, shall we take some calls?
Sure, let's do that.
Okay, our first caller is Kim. I don't know who the other callers are. Kim, you're live.
Hi.
Hello.
Thank you for taking my call. Hi.
Sure.
Okay, So
okay.
I can pull.
Can you tell me what you'd like to know or what your problem might be?
I'm holding onto my weight because I'm afraid skinny and men noticing me and me having to being afraid of being in a relationship.
Oh. So let me see if I understand this. You are overweight because of fear of having a relationship if you were thinner. Is that correct?
Yes, I'm trying to not get the attention.
Say that again.
I guess I'm trying to not have the attention from men.
Oh, you don't want attention. Okay. And how do you feel about your overweight? Does that make you happy?
No, I want to be thin and I want to be married. But apparently I'm holding on to this weight so that I am afraid to have a marriage and a commitment with a husband.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Okay,
well, this is quite a... you've had... you're a very old soul. Do you realize that? Do you feel in touch with, you know, your soul self, your higher nature, your divine essence?
Yes.
You do. Okay, well, that's very good. That's a major step in, you know, your own awakening. I see the primary one they're taking me to is in Egypt, and you are part of the royal family. You're a very beautiful young daughter of the, it might be Ramesses, I think, was an Egyptian leader, and you were part of that family, and very, you know, well taken care of, and actually, you know, very spoiled, but very beautiful and very kind and loving, and you did fall in love, and you got married to a very handsome. He was actually beneath your status, so to speak, you know. But he was a captain of one of the guards of the palace, where you lived. And he was very good looking, and he had women after him all the time. And sometimes he caved into these women. And when you found out, it just devastated you because you felt then that there must be something wrong with you when that was not true at all. There was something wrong with him. He was just, you know, too weak, really, to withstand all this admiration he was getting from the female side of life. You felt it was a problem with you that was causing him to play around like this. And you ended up getting quite ill. You made yourself sick over the whole thing. And when you passed, you thought to yourself as you were leaving the physical body, which was a beautiful physical body, that you were never going to get involved in a relationship again because it was too hurtful and too painful, and you just could not survive again. And so that's what got locked in your cellular memory. And so lifetime after lifetime, I think if you were able to go back yourself into the various lifetimes, I can open the door for you, say, to this one that I just did, you know, to help you realize it has nothing to do with here and now unless you make it have something to do with here and now, such as, you know, your physical presence. So do you feel any of that? Do you feel any connection with what I was saying to you?
Yes, I totally believe that.
You what?
Yes, I totally believe that. Thank you.
Okay, and so now what are you going to do about it? Hello?
I don't know. Where do I go from here? Forgive myself?
Well, you have to start loving yourself, for one thing, and realizing that you're a good person, there's nothing wrong with you, you have the right to a loving relationship with another person, and that it was just, you know, it was a bad relationship that you had there in England or Egypt, but it has nothing to do with here and now. And, you know, get on an exercise thing and start losing weight and get, you know, get to be the person that you really want to be, and you'll attract the right kind of person. And just be discerning. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. God bless you, hon. Let me know how things go.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks for calling, Kim.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay, our next caller is from area code 843. What is your first name, please?
Yes, good evening. My first name is Micah.
Hi, Micah.
Good evening to you.
Hi,
good
Micah.
Evening. Good evening, ma'am. I would like to quickly state that, of course, I'm naturally skeptical of everything, but logically, from everything I just heard from your previous reading, I really cannot doubt or prove, vice versa, the claims you make with your tap to your spiritual guide, as well as the access to the Akashic Records, which I do believe now, in my later years, exist.
Uh-huh.
I've thought long and hard to give an honest answer of what my fear is. And my deepest fear that I, when it has come to pass, is failure at anything, and especially when it comes to the loss of human life, in which I would rather not go into detail. But I have made decisions in my life in which lives were lost. And
was that through the military, you mean?
I was in the military. Fortunately, no. It was prior to then. I'll just go ahead and say it. When I was young and dumb, even though that's no excuse.
Yeah.
I advised my girlfriend to get an abortion.
Uh-huh.
And as I grow older, and you have to forgive me, this is somewhat emotional.
That's okay, we'll get rid of that. Yeah, not to worry.
I have realized, as years go by, though I didn't then, the age of what my children would have been now. And
you mean you advised this more than once?
Yes. One was my decision. Two others was the decision of the mothers. Though I will say I strongly pled against it. I was ready to make the right choices and do the right things. From that first decision, which was quite fresh, I realized that was something that had long-term effects, and there was more of an effect to that I honestly didn't want anyone else to suffer, especially the persons that I had been with, that both the times were in love, you know.
Okay, now let me just interject here. This is something that is the result of something that happened in this lifetime, not a past lifetime, that you've been, you know, carrying in your subconscious. This is something that happened in this current lifetime, right?
The failure fear is actually something that I had long prior to that, but that was pretty much what I lined out, is where I realized in my life that was a fear. It was the flag that I actually have a weakness. I actually have a chink in my armor, I say.
Okay, let me ask you this. Did you consciously decide that you would never make a recommendation like that, or put yourself in a situation where you would have to face, you know, making a decision like that again in this lifetime? Did you do that consciously? Or have you done that, I should say?
I honestly feel that happened innately, but it was, you know, when I expressed those situations, that was just something that, even though the other situations in my life, which granted I don't want to take up too much time on this call, as to describe it, it would. But I felt, first, I know I have very much lived before. As for where, I don't know. I was given a first name. When I learned how to write, and they told me.
Wait a minute, I'm getting very confused. I'm sorry. I'm getting very confused. I was expecting an answer to my question as to whether you have done anything consciously in this lifetime to forgive your acts of this lifetime and avoid situations that would cause them to happen again.
My apologies again. My consciously, I have pretty much decreed to myself to, if anyone ever came to me for advice on a situation like that, I would advise against, because of the long-term effects, and because I deeply now, as I have aged and I have grown wiser, I would like to think, I realize that it was wrong. And I'm not trying to hold a political perspective on that, but
okay, but you're still somehow holding on to that as a problem that is preventing you from succeeding in other aspects of your life. Is that correct?
Very much, because I know there's many avenues that I've had that I could involve myself in, that there was a chance of a success, but I denied them because I realized the greatest way to not fail is to never invoke, to never even begin.
Never try. You never
right.
try.
Right.
Okay, and now are you ready to succeed in, you know, in this lifetime, be able to accomplish something for which you are very proud, or for something that feel that you came here to accomplish, as we all have.
Yes, ma'am, and I'll just say briefly, from the moment I cut my first of two daughters' umbilical cords, I was more than ready.
For what?
To succeed in this life.
But you're still having a problem in achieving that? Is that where you are?
Yes, ma'am. I certainly am. I think I'm a better mind of it in success, but then again, I'm a very intelligent individual, but I'm smart enough to know that I don't know everything.
Well, I don't know who does, but do you want me to go back and see what might be holding you back from achieving what you came here to do?
Ma'am, I would greatly
appreciate. In other words?
I would greatly appreciate that insight.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, let me see. Well, there's quite a band of guides here going through. You're a very, very ancient soul. This could very well be your last lifetime if you want it to be, which involves, of course, succeeding and avoiding the, the death penalty or death experience and achieving mastery. You've had several lifetimes as a spiritual leader of various sects, that's S-E-C-T, and with, religious teachings, and you were very genuine in in the teaching, and felt that you were being divinely guided. But then there were times at the end of those lifetimes where you realized that they really weren't based in truth. They were based in power and greed. And so that's one of those happened in South Africa, and one of them happened in Peru, and one of them happened the early stages of Italy. In Italy, I don't know if you feel any attraction to Italy, but anyhow, so those were three of your major lifetimes where you were misguided in discerning the truth of what you were doing, but you finally, before that lifetime was over, you realized that you had made a mistake, and you did feel terrible that you had misled people, that you had given them wrong information to achieve their spiritual reality. And what you are doing in this lifetime, you have realized that you've made mistakes. We all make mistakes. And that's what we're here for. This is mistake correction planet of the universe, if that's what you want to call it. And so that's why we're here, to overcome these mistakes. And just face them and recognize they were mistakes. And, send light and love to the people that you may have hurt or harmed in any way. And fill yourself with light and love. Reach out for understanding of truth and how to be discerning. And it's through knowledge, and you said you're smart, so you can figure that out. But you have to stop beating yourself up. That's the message I'm getting for you. Stop beating yourself up. You are a very highly evolved soul that has a wonderful future for you and your family. You are together with your family, aren't you?
Currently, I am not.
You should be. I've never gotten information like that. I'm sorry, that just popped out. But
understood. I'm all for saying the truth. Yes, I should be, but it's for my two natural daughters. It's a court experience that I'm going through now that I've already passed many hurdles. And for my recent family that adopted me, it's a struggle due to employment, which I had to move away, and we're maintaining a long-distance relationship, but a relationship still there.
Okay, well, that's good. Okay, well, anyhow, that is the information that I was shown on your behalf, that you have to forgive yourself. Bless those that you may have hurt, and just know that you have the ability to achieve, you know, good things. And love yourself. That's the message for you.
Okay, now I would like to give a quick message to the host. Sir?
Yes.
Your guest is very much on point. Thank you for selecting her this evening. When she said South Africa, I cried. That is something that as of recently, over the last 6 years, I felt an attraction to the ancient civilization theories of various people, most notably Michael Tellinger, informing us of the amazing ancientness of South Africa, as well as the Peruvian connection to various settlements throughout the world when we allegedly were not connected. And that's something that I've just...
That's for you. That's good.
It really is, and I am a Sita believer, and I can't deny that, that you knew nothing of me before I called other than my first name and the information given, and there's no way to derive that. And those are the things I go through logically as checks and balances so as I will not fail another person with the knowledge I pass on to them. And I want to thank you so much, ma'am, for your time.
Oh, you are sure welcome. And don't fail yourself. You have to, you know, build your own courage and know that you're here to accomplish and to ascend and just set about doing it and loving everything that you do, okay?
Yes, ma'am. I certainly will.
Okay, God bless you.
And again to you both, thank you for taking my call and thank you for corroborating what I didn't even know.
Okay.
You're welcome, Micah. You take good care.
Bye-bye.
Yes, sir.
Bye-bye. Okay, take bye-bye. All right, let's move on to area code 604, and you are live. What is your name, please?
Well, hi, it's Catherine. I called in, my phone knocked off. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, at one point I noticed you were called in twice somehow or other, but you're welcome, and here's Dr. McIntyre for you.
Hi, Dr. McIntyre.
Hi. Hi.
So interesting.
Did you say Catherine? Your name is Catherine?
Yes.
Okay. What can I do?
I've been very connected to a man in my life. I've been involved with him for since 1990, and
with who?
We've been for quite a long time, and I was wondering if you could elaborate on that for me in the past lives with us.
Well, when you say us, I'm sorry, I don't, I'm not following your question, I guess. Who's us?
I've been involved with this man for a while.
Oh.
I felt a really strong connection to him, one of the strongest, the second person in my life I've ever felt that.
Uh-huh.
And
oh,
I was wondering
and
if you
want to know if there's a karmic link there?
Well, yeah.
We've been together with him before.
Yeah, and we've just split up a while ago, and I was just wondering what you got with that. I've felt so strong about him from the minute.
Oh, you just split up?
Yeah,
did you
just
say
from the minute
you just split up? Oh, I can't. We keep interrupting each other. I'm sorry.
That's the problem with radio, Dr. McIntyre. Yeah, she said she just split up with him recently.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, actually, what I'm getting without any, you know, review or anything is that, gee, and I hate to be in this position, but I am getting the message for you that that it's a good thing that you should have broken up actually sooner than you did, because the relationship with the man would not have ended happily for you.
Okay.
And they're not going into any detail. If you want me to, I guess, you know, we can go back and find out a lifetime that, you know, may have ended up causing a problem in this lifetime, if you want me to. But what the... are you a teacher?
No, I'm not.
You are not?
No.
Well, you have there's something that you should be teaching. That's what I'm getting, and I have no idea what that is because I haven't gone back, you know, into the records or anything. But do you want to know more about this fellow you just broke up with? Do you want to know more
yes.
than what I've already told? Yes?
Yes, yes, I would. It's been a long-term relationship. Yes, I would love that, Dr. McIntyre.
Okay, well, I don't know that it's a positive thing to find
it
out.
It doesn't matter.
You know, it does?
No, it doesn't matter. I just want to hear it so I can put it to rest or understand it. I want to understand it. Yes, I would love to hear it.
Okay, well, this is, it's taking place, the lifetime that they're showing me. I think they had two or three lifetimes with this individual. This is in the Himalayas. You were priests together in the Himalayas. This was back in the 1800s, I think. I can't give you a specific year because it did run for. You were in this. I think they're calling it a conclave. Of priests that were in the Himalayas. You had a retreat there, and you helped the community, the various communities in that general area with food and, of course, spiritual treatment and healing and understanding, that kind of thing. And you did fall in love. And you had, a very nice, fulfilling, enriching lifetime together. And then Well, I'm not getting the full details. I don't think they. It was not a pleasant thing that happened, but he turned on you, and he was afraid that you would divulge the affair that had developed between you. And so he created an accident. I don't know how else to say it kindly, you know. So he created an accident in which you were killed. And, of course, that was the end of that relationship. And as you passed out of your body, which was, it was like you had fallen over a cliff, and your body was pretty mangled. But you wondered what you had done, you know, to cause him to want to do that to you. That was, you know, those were your fleeting thoughts or your thoughts, you know, as you left the body and moved into spirit. And I don't know, maybe that's what you're still trying to release from your spiritual nature or understanding now, is why he did that. And what they're telling me to pass on to you is that for you, it doesn't matter why he did it. He was disturbed, obviously. You know, the fact that he would do that. And so don't concern yourself with him, but just know that you had done nothing to cause that. You had done nothing to cause that. And but it's because you thought that you had, that's why you came back together in this lifetime, so that you'd be able to get a clear view of it and be able to release it and move on without his vibration hindering anything in your nature. Does that help?
Well, the first time I ever saw him, I was just, he felt it too. Like, we saw each other. He felt it too. So I'm just, I didn't know why we felt that way, but we've been together for over 20 years.
Oh, my goodness. In this lifetime?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
And it's very pulling. And so we just broke up. So I was wondering about that. Because of it.
Well, why
he
did you
told,
break up?
Because of the indiscretion. I think maybe, you know, a person gets older. I don't know. Maybe he thought he was going getting older. I'm not sure what it was. It wasn't me who did it.
It was you that did it?
No, it was him. And when I first saw him, when we were really young, he saw it too. I told him. It almost, I saw him, and I was in a place, and he just, like, he was supposed to do something work-wise, and I was on a, like, on a transport. And he, basically, they told him he had to fix my chair or something, and it just blew me away. And I told him, and he said he felt it too. So I knew that we... He felt exactly the way I felt, that he had to fix the seat I was on. It was
well,
broken.
Yeah, you had an affair before, so that love bond was like reactivated when you saw each other.
Yeah, it just
right?
he felt it. Like I said, it just blew him away. It blew me away. I cannot get him away from me. I cannot get him off my mind. And I mean, I've been with him for over 20 years, so that should be usual, shouldn't it?
What should be usual?
The fact that she can't get him off her mind.
Exactly.
No, that would not. I wouldn't think that would be. I would think that would be very difficult after being with somebody for 20 years, especially
exactly.
when you had this
exactly.
bond of love going into the relationship.
Exactly.
You haven't gotten over it yet. You still have this bond of love. So, you know, you can certainly continue to love him, but you have to love yourself and get on with life and realize that, you know, while it did take 20 years, which was too bad, and that was a lot longer than when you were both monks, but...
no, but you know what? I've had a beautiful relationship with him, and he's been so kind and giving to me all these years. So I'm very thankful for what he has given to me. But it's very,
very
hard for me. But it's not been very long.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
It's not been long since we broke up, but I'm still having a very, very difficult time.
Oh, I'm sure you are. But obviously that doesn't affect the relationship. I mean, the relationship is still broken. And so you have to move on with your life. And, you know, you just send him light and love and fill yourself with light and love. And, you know, forgiveness if you feel that he's wronged you in any way. You know, don't hold on to anything like that either. So it's very
I'm an older person right now, so I'm not really a young person.
And?
Well, when you're younger, you think, you know, you'll have another relationship, but when you're older, it's not a possibility.
Oh, that's not true. That's not true, Catherine.
Not at all.
No, there's always the possibility, but it doesn't sound like you're ready for that just now. You know, it's still, the pain is still fresh and you're having problems letting go. So now's not the time to get involved in a relationship, but you need to be open to the possibility if that's a desire that you have in this life. Don't you think, Dr.
Right.
McIntyre?
Yes,
David,
I do,
so
absolutely.
Why is it so hard for me to let go? Why?
It's hard for anybody. How long's it been?
A year.
Yeah. I mean, it's like grieving a death. It sometimes takes a few years to get over it.
Yeah, you have to find something to keep you occupied, to keep you interested, or to get you interested in, you know, another aspect of life other than something with him. You just have to do it, because at least you didn't get shoved over a cliff this time. Think of it that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So just focus on love. Focus on your love of life and, find something to get involved in. I think that will help you the most, Kathy, really.
You know, I've always been involved, and that's a problem. But this is the first time I've not been so involved, because it's hitting me so hard.
Mm.
Okay, well, then start getting involved again.
Okay.
Okay, keep working with it, and let me know if I can help you some more, okay?
Okay, thank you, Dr. McIntyre and David. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Catherine. We appreciate it. Dr. McIntyre, do you have your book, The Fast Road to Happiness?
I sure do.
Would you find a section from that you can read that might provide some comfort for Catherine?
Oh, my goodness. Well, not if I'm going to be doing any more readings.
Well, there's nobody else on the line, so this is a good opportunity.
I'm still here.
Okay. Nope. All right. You might want to get this book that I've written. It's a compilation of individual and group regressions that I've given to people and the healing results of the effects. And, I'm sorry.
That's all right, hon. No problem. No problem. It was just a thought that occurred to me.
Yeah.
Yes.
But what I can do is, let's see, what can I do? other than just telling you to be positive. And you know, when there's another person involved, you can't be responsible for what they do. But what you can be responsible for is how they affect you.
Yeah.
And you can't allow him to create this hurt. You cannot do that and survive.
I understand.
You know, so, yeah. So, you know, you have to put yourself number one in this case. And just, let's see, maybe...
And I always...
Maybe... Huh?
I always do put myself number one.
Uh-huh.
That's good.
I understand the concept, but it still doesn't alleviate you from all the pain and suffering.
No, no.
Well, you have to do that on a conscious level.
You know, I'm the product of a divorce on my mother and my father. And I'm a second divorcee on my first marriage, and I'm a third divorcee on my third, on the second. But, you know, I've been through a lot, like to watch my parents go through it and to watch me go through it the second time.
Uh-huh. Well, how did you get through it the first time?
With my father dying and before he had someone else. With my mother with her first children. It was very difficult.
No,
I
didn't ask you about their divorce. I'm asking you about your first divorce.
It was very, very difficult.
How did you get through that?
It was very difficult. It was very difficult.
But you did it, didn't you?
Great difficulty. Great difficulty. I loved my husband. And I would have done anything to keep the marriage together. And I tried, but I didn't know how. And it wasn't up to me. It's not up to me to make these things right. It has to be someone else.
It's up to you how you relate to things. Now, listen to this. Just take a deep breath and sit back. To maintain positive attitudes and growth, learn the effect of right thinking and right action that is helpful to self or others. Awareness of environment and the people to associate with and their effect on you is important. Be sure your surroundings, friends, and associates are positive. Once a person recognizes that certain behavior causes them to fear or become ill, they must overcome it through conscious change. Find people that enhance you. Be guided into a more youthful, healthier, and happier life. You can do this by healing imperfections in your mind, body, and spirit. Good thoughts and actions create health in the body, just as bad ones create disease or suffering. You might get fragile, but you won't break if you keep yourself polished inside and out. And that's information from the heart and mind of a glorious little angel called Forever. And that's in my book, The Forever Principle. You might want to get that because that the purpose of that book was to help inspire people that are depressed or, you know, having problems with life.
Well, Catherine, we wish you the best, dear, and thank you for calling tonight. You know, I think that what you just read, Dr. McIntyre, really, if she took it in, could be helpful to her.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So thank you, Catherine.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Okay. God bless.
God bless you.
Well, Dr. McIntyre, we're down to the last 5 minutes. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about tonight?
Oh, my goodness. Let's see. What can I talk about? I think it's very important for people to focus more on their inner self rather than other people's or how they think other people are relating to them.
Mm-hmm.
And because that causes so much heartache. Well, like poor Kathy, you know, she doesn't relate to how lovely she is. And if I asked her if she thought she was lovely, I know she would say no. But aren't we all lovely? Just like all the plants and all the trees, they're lovely. Why aren't we lovely? Well, we are, you know. But it's very hard for people to relate to that for, you know, many different reasons.
Right.
I think the new phrase to relate to is believing is seeing. If you believe something can happen, if you believe something is true, then it is for you. And what Forever said, find people that encourage, you know, right thought and right action.
Yeah, that's so important. It really is.
Absolutely.
We need to surround ourselves with positive people that enhance our life experience and that don't feed us with negative ideas, that don't disaffirm us, that don't abuse us. We're
right.
Entitled. We need to have self-respect and surround ourselves with loving souls. And it also is an inside job. It starts with us. We need to love ourselves. Until we can do that, we won't find love with another person.
Absolutely true. The love that you put out because you love yourself is what attracts love to you.
Right, right.
You know?
Right.
So, yeah, if only people realize, you know, we really are actors on a stage.
Yes, we are.
And I see that as life goes on. I just see that more and more and more. And because certainly in my life, I have learned to be very positive. And whatever I ask for, whatever I want, by golly, it's there. Somehow it appears in my life, or I'm guided to where I go to get it.
Right,
know?
Right. Well, we are entitled to realize our dreams. And a lot of people don't believe that.
Absolutely.
And
that's
what you,
right.
What you believe is what you get.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, it's like Catherine was saying, she didn't believe that she would find another relationship. So she needs to change that. That's a false belief.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And even if that is true, even if she never does meet anybody else, the important thing is, how does she feel about herself?
Right. Right.
And it's not dependent on somebody else bringing her a relationship.
Right, that's correct. Well, I think that's a good place to end. We're down into the last minute, and so I'd like to close the show unless you have any parting words.
Oh, I just want everybody to love yourself and love one another, because we're all in this family together. And this is a family on this planet. So let's all get along, okay?
Okay. So once again, to a close, now let's pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience when we let it be. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize. Good night, and God bless.
Thank